Last week we were discussing the last part of chapter 3 and into chapter 4, where it talks about where he gives instructions for the home and how we are to live in the home. And we ended up last week, we were talking about the whole issue of slaves and masters and the things that he has to say about that in here. And we were discussing just the question that a lot of people have concerning the whole issue of slavery, and why doesn't the Bible condemn that, and why did God condone it, and those kinds of things. We have these instructions where Paul doesn't tell masters to free their slaves. Instead, what does he do? He tells them to, how they're to act toward their slaves. And he also instructs slaves on how they're to behave towards their masters. And so that question is one that people, bring up and discuss even more. Again, what is God's stand on that? And last week I was telling you, slavery was never God's design for the way he wanted people to interact with one another, okay? But slavery was a result of people deciding they wanted to, enslave other people and, and rule and all those kinds of things. And I gave the comparison to what Jesus has to say in Matthew 19 about divorce. That he's asked the question, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any reason? And Jesus' response really, I think, is the same as applies to this same thing. He says, he said that God never intended for divorce, okay? But what is the question then? Well, why did Moses command to give a decree of divorce and put her away? And Jesus' response was, Moses, because your hearts were hard, commanded you to give a decree of divorce. But he says, it was not so from the beginning. In other words, that was never God's intention and design for marriages, for divorce to take place. But because men's hearts are hard, they're going to do what they're going to do. And so if that's what you're going to do, then here's regulations as to how you need to behave yourself. Okay, if you're determined because of hard heart that you're going to do this, then here's what you have to do. And so I think we certainly apply that very same thing to, what the Bible says about, slavery and so forth. It was never God's intention that men would treat one another that way. But because men's hearts are hard, they're going to do what God doesn't want them to do. And so God set about issuing instructions, okay, that if your hearts are so hard, you're going to do these things, here's what you've got to do. And the fact that slavery was a part of world culture has been, since way, way back when, okay? But one interesting thing, what we didn't really get into this last week, if you go back and you look at the law of Moses, there are specific instructions that God gives concerning how they were to respond and treat any slaves that they had. And the interesting thing about those instructions is that God tells them then, in giving those instructions, he says, remember, you yourselves were slaves in Egypt. You see? So, in other words, as you're, treating your slaves, however you're responding to them, he said, you remember where you came from. You didn't like being slaves in Egypt, so you make sure you treat these people right. And so, again, just to kind of cover that whole thing that people understand, that slavery is never a good, it's not what God wanted to begin with, okay, for people to own other people. But when people are determined that they're going to do something, even though God doesn't want it done, then God gives instruction to say, okay, here's what you need to be doing. And so we need to understand it in that kind of a way, that slavery back then and you know, unfortunately, up until the early period of this country, was a part of culture, part of world culture, but never by God's design and intention. But God has said since early times, this is how you've got to behave. If you're a slave, this is how I expect you to behave. If you're a master, this is how I expect you to behave. And any thoughts, comments on that at all, Judy?
Well, when you go back and read about how slaves were to be treated, they were not to be kept for their whole life.
Right. They were not amongst the Jews, they were not.
Yeah,
right.
They could only keep them for 6 years, I think, and then right. on the seventh
year of Jubilee, they had to let them go. Yeah.
Unless they decided right. they wanted to stay with their master.
Right.
And then they went through a ritual, like get the ear pierced
right.
or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to show that they willingly remained with their master.
Right.
But, and I think there's still slavery going on today.
Oh, there absolutely is.
You look in some of these.
There still is.
Look at human trafficking. It's the same thing.
It's still going on even here in America today.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's never been something that God wanted to have happen, you know. But He's regulating how we need what as His people. Here's how He wants us. We don't have any control over what the world does, but as His people, He says these are the things that you need to pay attention to. Okay, Ray, you had a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention it. Unfortunately, throughout the world.
Yes, we do.
And to have to start it with God's people, even the Jews,
mm-hmm.
They were enslaved all those years. And then, of course, many of us who came from Africa, our forefathers, and many of them mm-hmm. were slaves.
Philemon. Right.
That's a good example of how a slave got a favor mm-hmm. with his master. And then they reconciled and they got.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But that's just one example, right. which is a great one. And I'm sorry, there's not a whole lot in the Bible. There was one time where Jesus and some of the apostles saying that, are these men Galileans? Because they could tell by the way they talked
mm-hmm.
that they weren't from around that area.
Right.
And it's very unfortunate that we are still living in the 21st century.
Well, I think that one of the things that we have to look at and understand about this, we're talking about the difference
yeah.
between the way the world lives
yeah.
and the way we as God's people should live. Prejudice and those things have existed, you know, almost since the dawn of man. But that doesn't make it right, okay? The Jews certainly, you know, were extremely prejudiced against Gentiles, which was everybody except Jews. And that's one reason why, you know, they didn't really do what God had intended for them to do as Israelites in terms of shining a light for the Gentiles to see their way to God, because they were so prejudiced against everybody. They didn't want to have anything to do. They despised Gentiles. Which certainly was not what God intended, was not right. But again, just go back and look out through the history of mankind, and what do you see? And of course, it started there, but it wasn't necessarily over any kind of racial or anything prejudice, but Cain and Abel, you know, there was jealousy there. And I, you know, if you really, in my opinion, you look at it, you think, okay, what's the root of all of this kind of stuff? Well, it's that, jealousy and selfishness. Cain killed his brother Abel because why? God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's sacrifice. And he was jealous, and so he killed his brother. And men have been doing that ever since, you know, for whatever the reason. And throughout history, we have, you know, nations who go and attack other nations. Why? Because they're different, okay? For no other reason. They're just different. And certainly, we can look back at all of that history and we see none of this is the way that God intended for men to live, okay? But again, men who are not following God are going to do what men are going to do. But God calls upon His people to be different. You see? And that's really the key to all this. And we need to understand that the standards that the world lives by cannot be our standards. That God has given us His standards to live by, and we can't accept those other standards, and we've got to live by His. And so, you know, to look at somebody else, say, because of the color of their skin or because of what nationality they are or whatever, and instantly hate them because of that, is like, wait a minute. Yeah, that's what the world does. But we are not the world, and we cannot accept that kind of behavior and attitude. See? And that's really how we've got to understand these things and looking at it. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. But as God's people, we've got to rise above the world, because otherwise, how else can we be a light in the world we live in that shines the way to Jesus if we're no different than the world? Okay, so that's, I think that's one of the main things we've got to look at in all of this. Okay, I saw some hands up here. Chuck, I know, had a hand, and Dolores and Judy. So let's start here and go this way. Right.
So, you know, after 7 years, you don't get your ear. You know, don't be a slave if you don't have to be a slave.
Right.
Be free.
Well, I agree with that up to the point where we have to understand why the instructions were given to the Israelites concerning that. That there were times when people, they owed a debt to, you know, someone. And so in order to pay that debt, they sold themselves to that person to work for them for, you know, a time to pay that debt off. So in essence, they were their slave. Okay, that was their choice to do so in order to pay that debt off. But even so, God gave instructions. Okay, in that circumstance, here's how it's supposed to work. Okay, then there were those slaves. Okay, who were working for that master that, you know, Jesus. I mean, the scriptures there tell us, look, this person likes working for this master, and they don't want to leave. Okay? So in order for that situation to continue, God says, okay, if you don't want to be set free, you want to continue working for this person, here's what you do. And that brings in the whole ceremony of, you know, nailing the ear to the wall and so forth, and that makes it a permanent situation. Okay? But you have to understand also, typically when we talk about slavery, we think of all of the negative, you know, horrifying parts of, you know, people being abused and all of those kind of things. But that was not always the case. Historically, you can go back and you can see, just because someone was a slave does not mean they were beaten and treated terribly and so forth. Else why would anybody want to say, well, I have a chance to be free, but I don't want to be free. I want to continue working, because their condition, the situation they were working in, was one that was favorable to them. Mm-hmm. You see? So we have to understand it that way also, and not conclude that just because slavery is there that, okay, that's an awful, terrible thing. It wasn't always that kind of a situation. Now, that doesn't say, well, wait a minute, you know, we should allow it. No, we shouldn't. But again, understand the whole picture of it. You see, but the main point here is, as God's people, we need to behave differently than the world is behaving. But let's go in one other aspect of this, okay? Again, we talk about slavery and we go, oh, that's a bad word. We're all slaves, right? Somebody. Paul makes it clear, we're either a slave to our fleshly nature, to sin, or we're a slave to who? The Spirit. You see? And again, even though, you know, that the word slavery, I think sometimes because our mind conjures up these pictures of, you know, this is all terrible, when we read about slavery in the New Testament in terms of how we're supposed to be slaves of Christ, we have a problem with that. Because we don't really want to be slaves to anybody. And so what we want to do is make it a little bit easier, and we want to substitute the word servant for slave, where the real word is slave. And so when we substitute the word servant in there, we lose the real meaning of what it's talking about, because a slave, by definition, is what, first of all? Is owned by someone else. And that slave being owned by someone has no what?
No rights,
okay? And that slave being owned by someone and having no rights does what?
What
the master tells him to do. And that is how we are to be with Jesus, who is our master. Okay? We are owned by him. We were what? Bought at a price. So we are owned by him. He is our master. Okay? And we then have, you know, we don't have the right to decide what we're going to do or not going to do. We are to do what he tells us to do. And that, by the way, is the difference between a servant and a slave. Okay? A servant gets to choose where they're going to serve. They get to choose what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. Okay? So most of us are pretty content with being servants of Christ, but not slaves. Okay? And there's a huge difference between those two. All right? Let's see. Dolores, you had your hand up, and then Judy.
Yeah,
that's where it all starts, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
in the heart.
So, yeah. You know, you learn how to deal with it, and then putting on Christ, you know, it makes a great difference.
Yeah.
Because it has in my life. Makes you keep your mouth shut a lot of times.
Okay. Right.
When you want to voice something, but you know, you learn. You know, it's not because you're a coward. It's because you know, okay, this is what God is telling you.
Yeah, and I think, Dolores, you know, what you're saying is another important aspect of this whole thing. You know, why doesn't Paul, and we're going to discuss, by the way, probably as we're going to finish this study probably next week, and we're going to go into looking at the letter to Philemon, so we'll talk more about this. But part of it is the idea, why didn't Paul tell Philemon to release Onesimus, you know, as a slave? Well, you know, part of, and we'll talk about this more, but part of this whole thing of how to live is, and I think, Chuck, you mentioned it earlier, is this idea of whatever my station is in life, I need to learn how to live as Christ would have me to live, no matter what position I find myself in. I may find myself, hopefully I won't ever personally, but, you know, I may find myself in prison, okay? The way the government's going against it, Christianity, it may be one of those things. But, you know, can I still be a Christian in that arena. You see? Can I still do what God calls upon me to do, whatever the circumstance that I find myself in? In other words, do I have to live my life and go, boy, once I get, you know, this, whatever the situation is, then I'll be able to really live how Christ wants me to. Wrong approach. Judy and then Chuck.
Yeah, one word I was going to say, you know, it's even sometimes we as Christians are guilty of slavery, but judging people.
Sure.
And just by the, like you said, by the way they look or, and I'm thinking of the homeless people you see out here. You know, how many people judge them? Oh, they're just a bum or they just don't want to work. And there's this story out there of a homeless man that was begging for food and people walking by him calling him a bum and a dirt bag and lazy. And he said, I am not a bum. I am not lazy. He said, but when you are down on your luck and you have to go to look for jobs, they look at you and they determine you're not worthy.
Right.
You know, you're not going to get that job. So, and I think sometimes we as Christians are guilty of that.
Absolutely.
And we need to be careful of this and need to understand, especially for me, I got to remember where I came from because we were kind of outcasts where I grew up because I come from a very poor family. Mm-hmm. And the people around us all were pretty well-to-do. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of looked down upon, and we still are, like my brother still is.
Yeah.
And so we need to be careful of this because I think this all falls under slavery or looking down on people or, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, and if you stop and you consider again, you know why, why do some people feel like they have a right to put other people in slavery and bondage? Just because they feel like they're better than they are, period. And that doesn't necessarily have to be because of the color of one's skin. It can be for anything. We can just pick the topic, pick the difference. You know, that we have with a person, and for a lot of people, that's all that's required. They're different than I am. And, so that to some people, that justifies that kind of behavior. And God says, no, it doesn't.
Yeah. You know? We were just studying, last Friday, we were studying Micah.
Okay.
And it talks about how the well-to-do people get rich off of the poor because they take what they got. And then those people had to sell themselves to these rich people in order to make a living. And this is just so wrong, you know.
Yeah.
But I was telling my ladies there, are we strong enough? Because this can happen to us.
Anybody.
And then are we strong enough to stand firm as Christians and just, you know, not retaliate against people like that.
Yeah.
And I think that is the key word. Do not retaliate against these people because that's not Christ-like.
Yeah. Well, and God will take care of all of those things.
Exactly.
You know, and he's gonna take care of it. Chuck, you had a comment? Yeah, and I think that those things, you know, all of these things come from the judgments that we make concerning other people. And, of course, Jesus gives us some pretty stern warnings about judging other folks, doesn't he? You say, But yet we do that. We make judgments on somebody based on their appearance most of the time. It's, again, how, you know, they look like a bum because they're homeless, or they look like a biker, or they look like, you know, their race is different, the color of their skin, their nationality. Obviously, this person's speaking a foreign language, so, you know, they don't belong here, or, you know, whatever the case may be. We judge on those kinds of criteria when ultimately, where should we be looking at anybody? In the heart. It's the heart, you see. And so we oftentimes are willing to treat people badly. And I don't, you know, whatever that involves, it may be, you know, enslaving people that are different, or it may be just, you know, treating them like dirt, or, you know, thinking, you know, well, you know, these people, we don't want these people in here. We get a bunch of bikers coming in. Well, you know, then what's next? And that kind of a thing. You know, we're making judgments on people by mere appearance, and we're not even giving them a chance. And I've told this story before, and some of you may remember this. We were here way back years and years ago when they were doing the East Coast Evangelism workshops here, and they had a fellow that was the keynote speaker that came in to deliver, you know, the address for the main event. And but basically they had this guy there that had shown up, and he was a biker. I mean, he had the tattoos and everything, and people were just who is this guy and why is he here? And people were ignoring him, and they were just not very kind to him. And come to find out, guess who he was? He was a keynote speaker, okay? He happened to be an undercover narcotics policeman from Atlanta. But he was a brother in Christ, and he came to deliver the keynote address for the lectureships, and look at how people treated him just simply because of the way that he looked. You see? And now, these are not worldly people. These are people in the church that did that, okay? And so, again, it's that kind of thing. We've got to be careful that we don't look at people and make a judgment about them based on any of those criteria. You see? Brian?
I got two comments in the discussion going on. Talking about your circumstance.
Right.
When you're at your lowest circumstance and you handle that as a Christian, mm-hmm. that's when the light shines the bright.
Right. Yeah.
Because you're in a bad situation, no matter what your situation, the world looks at you, you shouldn't be handling it.
Yeah. Help out, just a helping hand.
Money,
yeah.
Then all they're going to do is this. So a lot of times these people are down when they're looking for compassion.
Yeah, absolutely. Chuck?
I found in Romans 6:19, I think it's so kind, where it states, I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you used to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourself as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you are slaves to sin, you are free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And so basically, what is he indicating there? He's saying, we said earlier, Everybody's going to be a slave to somebody. Okay? And so we need to focus on being slaves to Christ.
Right.
See, slaves to righteousness. So that as we're living our life, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, then we are living in such a way that our light shines in the world so that others can see their way to Christ. And that's really the bottom line of it all. All right? Okay, we'll continue some more of this as we get into talking about Philemon in a couple of weeks. But let's look at for a few minutes here in the top of chapter 4 where Paul here talks about prayer. Okay? And a couple of things here that I want you to note here in this. He starts out by saying, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. All right? Now, just so that we make sure we understand, what does it mean to be devoted, to devote yourself to something? We talk about, you know, devoted to something. What does that really mean?
To give your all to it.
Okay, give your all to it. Okay.
It's active participation.
Okay.
Commit.
What?
Commit
to it. Okay. Any other?
It's a high priority.
Okay, that's getting much closer.
Steadfast.
Okay. In actuality, the word in the Greek language for devoted that Paul uses right here is proskartotero. And that word literally means to be strong towards. Okay? Be strong towards. So if you think about that, what he's saying here is be strong in yourselves towards prayer. Okay, is what he's saying. So how does understanding the meaning of that word maybe change, you know, how you might have understood this passage? Say, yes, it's being committed and you know, those kinds of things, but to be strong towards something, what does that require?
Be hungry for it, I would say.
Okay, be hungry. If you want to be strong, what do you have to do?
Exercise.
Do what? You got to work at it. You got to exercise, right? Another, do what? You got to be fit. You got to. So it takes workouts. It takes practice. You know, in other words, you know, so often we think of prayer as just, well, let me just kind of sit down and, you know, okay, God, I'm here. Let's talk, you know. No, this is to actually condition yourself to prayer. All right? Everybody following me so far? Condition yourself toward prayer. That's the only way you get strong in something is to condition yourself. And in order to condition yourself, it takes repeated effort and work, right? It's not something where you can, you know, okay, I got to lose some weight, right? And I got to kind of get myself in better condition. So I signed up to the gym and I'm going to go over there on Monday. I'm going to work out and I should be fit, right? Well, I sure wish it would work that way. But it doesn't, does it? What is? Yeah, it's a lot of work, isn't it? It's consistent work. It's ongoing and it's regular. Say. It is, and that's the result of it. But what we need to understand, what Paul wants us to see here is what has to happen in order for this prayer to be effective the way God intends it for it to be. We've got to be strong in prayer. You see? We've got to condition ourselves in the whole attitude of prayer.
You have to train yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You see? And so again, it's not where it's going to be a one time I go and I said my prayer and now, you know, everything's good. It's learning how to pray. You go to the gym, you want to work out, you want to get your body in shape. oh, I know how to use all these weights over here, right? And you walk out of there out of the hernia, right? Because you didn't know what you were doing. So what do you have to do? You've got to condition yourself, but you've got to learn. You've got somebody that can teach you and help you. That's part of the conditioning. Okay? And so we have to have that kind of an attitude. And that's what Paul's talking about here when he says, devote yourself or be strong towards this. It's the idea of conditioning ourselves to prayer. Okay? Work at it. Struggle with it and train and learn how to pray. Okay? So when we talk about prayer, as he's mentioning here, that he starts out, it's all of those aspects of prayer. All right? And then he says, with that, being watchful and thankful. Now, we've only got about 2 minutes left here, but let's talk about the watchful part here real quickly. How do we be watchful in prayer? Any ideas on that?
Looking forward to be with Christ, to see Him coming again, to wait on Him.
Okay. Chuck?
Knowing when to exercise that avenue.
Okay. Yeah.
Or I need help in this certain situation. Let me take the time out and do that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dawn. Exactly. Looking forward. Here's what Albert Barnes says in his commentary on this. He says, watch for favorable opportunities. Watch that your mind may be in a right frame when you pray. Okay? And watch that when your mind is in a right frame, you may not neglect to pray. Okay? I like that. You see? I need to be watching. I'm going to be praying here, and is my mind in the right frame to be praying? All right? And when my mind is in the right frame, that opportunity comes. Am I praying? Am I using that opportunity? So he says, be watchful in our prayer, okay? All right, we're out of time. We'll talk about being thankful in our prayer next week. And we'll pick up there and move on, all right? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.